On today's episode of The Good Word, a very special episode featuring my man Bomani Jones. We talk about Kawhi Leonard and where the Clippers go from here, where he ranks historically, and we talk about Jason Tatum and some stuff that he said. And we talk about the New York Knicks and how they're going to fare this year with all the pressure, all that and much more coming up right now. Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. A bit of business before we get into today's show. We are, of course, on YouTube, and that is as far as I will take it. We got my man, Bomani Jones of The Right Time with Bomani Jones, joining us on a very special edition of The Good Word. My man, Bo, what's going on?
Hey, man, all good over here, man. What's happening with you?
Hey, look. I feel like we are not quite time for the NBA preview, which we always did. You were my very first guest, and I remember you were making fun of my cadence of talking very, very slowly, which I don't do anymore. So,
hey, man, you was new to the game, baby. You know what I'm saying? Like we all start this in a different way. And the thing I always say, all of us are better guests than hosts at first.
I'm still a better guest than the host, to be perfectly honest with you.
I am too. If I'm keeping it real, I am too.
How am I coming into somebody's house and eating out of their refrigerator? You know what I mean?
I say I am. I realized this. I went and sat for this documentary that CNN was doing about sports. And, like, that is what I do. I legitimately believe, you're welcome to disagree with me, whoever you happen to be, if you want. I don't think anybody's better at sitting for documentaries than I am, at least in this world of sports, right? Like, I truly don't think that. And let me tell you something. If you're going to pick something to be the best in the world at, try to make it something that isn't for free. Like, that is a skill that has never made me a dime. It doesn't work that way. You just get to sit down for free and make magic for other people.
Hey, man, you should have been charged. I think I remember we had just gotten cool, and I saw you in, like, maybe was it a Duke, Carolina documentary?
Yeah.
Like, in 2011. I was like, oh, he ain't just a regular dude. Like, he's, like, really good at this stuff. I gotta, like, step my game up so they can ask me to get on some documentaries.
All that. So, let me tell you a story related to that, because they put me on that doc because the guys who were making it is when I first started doing radio down there. We're riding around on Saturday morning, and I was wiling the day of a Carolina Duke game, like, in a way that I would never do again for a number of reasons. But the guy was like, oh, okay, cool, we'll put you on. They put me on. They gave me a lot of run. And I know the locals were upset that I got to be in the documentary. And now that I'm older, I understand what their problem was. I probably shouldn't have been in the documentary, but that guy didn't know it was my first week on the job or the first month on the job. He thought I was a local touchstone of sorts. So anyway, fast forward a couple of years, and the same gentleman, his name is George Roy, he directed a documentary about UNLV. Larry Johnson squads. And they came to Durham, I'm assuming, to shoot with Krzyzewski. So they set up over there at Duke, and dude was like, hey, you got anything to say about this? And I was like, I'll give it a run. And at that time, I used to keep a jacket and a shirt in my car, kind of like I used to wear hooping shorts under my jeans, because you never knew when it might pop off. And so I roll over there, and George Roy is not there. Whoever he sent to do the stuff is there. And I walk in wearing a cutoff t-shirt and some hooping shorts. And I'm there with this stuff in my hand, and he is just like, all right, yeah. Okay, so you're going to sit here. He's not giving me the time of day, whatever it is. I don't remember what question it was he asked me, but I remember I answered that question. I gave what I thought was a decent answer, but not like my greatest work ever. And I watched him, and he was like shifting back and forth in his chair while I was talking. And then we got to the end. He was like, oh my God, can you say that again? He was so excited by the quality of my talking headsmanship. And I was like, oh, okay. I got it. I got first TV I ever did was talking head in a documentary about Michael Jackson. I got to go to London twice for that.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I was like 22, 23. It was pretty dope.
Hey, look, you cut your bones as a music writer or a music critic, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't know if people necessarily, like, know that about you, but
they read something I wrote about Michael Jackson, and then they flew me up to New York, and this was, I was 22 years old, and I'll never forget, they were like, yo, man, so what else do you do? I'm like, nothing, man, I'm in graduate school. And they're like, okay, well, we think you're going to be a really big star, just letting you know this right now. Like, they were the first people to ever say anything like that to me. And so the day that they were going to run that documentary in Britain, it was a British doc, Neverland got raided, so they had to pull it back. So then they redid it, and they flew me over to redo it. And then they redid it again, and they flew me over again.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I was living, boy. I was Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was bitty, bitty good to me. Rest in peace. And then when he died, everybody needed Michael Jackson content, and so they had it, and so it was running all over the world, man. I felt famous for like a week.
I mean, at 22.
Yeah, now. Yeah, yeah, 22, it was dope. 22, then I went at 23, then I went at 24, and then when I was 28, the doc started running. Like, Michael Jackson made my 20s professionally very well.
Hey, that is a way to live. Hey, I bet you look at them old pictures the way I look at some of my old pictures and be like, who is that creature?
No, I don't know that man. No, when I look at your old pictures, that is the exact same person that is sitting in front of us right now. Like, you have a remarkably steady look, brother. Like, you know, like you might have gone from a medium to a large in some things, but otherwise, like, you know, that's you.
I see a totally different person.
I guess you see everything that's happened on the in-between. Like nobody's walking up on you at class reunion like, who is this again? Either they knew you or they didn't.
No, you know what's funny? Because my college homecoming is this weekend. And if I decide to go, because those things be kind of weird for reasons I ain't going to be talking about here. But whenever it's somebody that they always know my name, or they always like, yo, what's going on, bro? They are so familiar that they don't say my name. And I'm supposed to try to, like, pick you out. And, Bo, the crazy thing is, it's even worse when I'm around dudes I went to high school with. Not the high school I graduated from. The first high school I went to when I was 13 years old. And like, hey, man, you went to Cass Tech with me, didn't you? And I'm like, bro, I spent, like, 7 months there. How do you? What is
it? It's possible.
Yeah, but more people remember me than I will ever remember.
I know. That's why the answer is, it's possible. Just keep riding it out. What year was you there? Okay, yeah, I was there at the same time. Like, you just gotta, like, if all they go on...
You just string it out. No, you just string it out. You just string it out until you find a string that makes sense.
No, not even string it out. Like, if all they giving you was that little bit of information, we gonna do it all from the beginning. What was your name again? Like, I don't feel obligated to say I remember you from high school. Remember you from college, I understand why you might, you know, like, expect it. But I ain't gotta remember you from when I was 14.
Yeah, that was, that whole thing, like, I got a terrible memory anyway, so it's bad for me at, you know, college homecomings and people see you like, yeah, we went to school together. And I'm like, okay, which school? You got to tell me. Or I hooped against you. And I'm like, brother, I hooped against hundreds of people. And not because I was just that great. You just wind up hooping against a whole bunch of people. I must have a face. That's just what it is. But, boom.
Yeah.
That's all it is. I just got that face. I hate it because I can't never not say I am who I am. I can't pull a U and say I got a twin.
Hey,
you know what,
man,
I mean?
That's all time. It wasn't my lie, but I'm glad I told it. Like, your problem is I saw that picture of your pops. Like, you generational on this. You got no escape.
Well, I'm built like him and look like my mama. That's a whole different. If you see me and my mama together, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's your child. You see me and my dad together, and you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's your child. I'm everybody's child and nobody's child at the same time.
Gotcha.
Speaking of everybody's child, nobody's child, I don't know who Kawhi Leonard belongs to, because according to a story from ESPN, the Clippers are looking to get out of the Kawhi Leonard business. Of course, that's the investigation with Aspiration, the NBA, and everything else. Like, I want to leave that part of it to the side. We talked about that last week with Amin Al-Hassan. I want to talk to you, Bo, about not necessarily the story itself, but the overall Kawhi Leonard experience for the Clippers. Do you still view this, with everything that it has cost them, as a net positive because the Clippers are at least now a bankable brand, or at least they were before all this stuff started coming back out?
Yeah, I do think that it has been a net positive. I think, obviously, what they're going to look back on is blowing that 3-1 lead to Denver in the bubble, right? Because think about this. If they don't blow that, they're playing the Lakers in the conference finals. And say one thing about the Kawhi era, it done pretty good playing against the Lakers. right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
They had a legitimate chance to win is under optimal circumstances for keeping a guy like Kawhi physically healthy and everything else. And if they don't blow that lead, it is entirely possible that they win that championship. And then we talk about this, I think, entirely differently. To me, I think it's worth it because of what you just said. The legitimacy that this franchise has taken on in those 6 years since then. Now, the Lob City era obviously set things up for this. But the truth is, those teams, did they ever feel truly like championship caliber teams when they did not have a championship caliber number one player? They never did, right? Like, they brought that franchise out of the doldrums. I think they got three guys whose jerseys they should retire. Number three, number 32, number six, right? I think, you hang those up there. But I do think everything about the way we view the Clippers changed with them getting Kawhi and them getting Paul George. Now, there are other teams that we look at. The Brooklyn Nets, for example, with the Kawhi James Harden thing, right? I think we generally view that as a failure, but I think we view that as a failure because it was a circus.
Right.
This thing with Kawhi may have felt like a circus to them in the, you know, behind the scenes, but it didn't feel like a circus on the outside. I think they've had some of the best moments that they've had as a franchise in this run, including those playoffs after Kawhi got hurt when Paul George stepped up. I guess that was that 2021, was the year or somewhere in there.
Yeah, 21.
Kawhi, when healthy, has been excellent when he has played there. If they could have Kawhi healthy at the end of the year, like, I think part of why it's kind of worth it to keep throwing this money at them, one, is that Ballmer uses the team as a loss leader for his taxes. But the other part is, if they just kept throwing money at this, if you get Kawhi Leonard healthy for those last 2 months, you've still got one of the greatest basketball players of all time.
That's the thing I think that's hard for people to reconcile, is that when he does play and when he does look right, like you said before we started, top 20 player of all time. It is hard for people to imagine themselves saying Kawhi Leonard, even though two-time finals MVP, and all the misses that he's had, injuries and whatnot. But if you put Kawhi Leonard on one side, and let's just say a name of someone who was mentioned on your podcast on Monday, Scottie Pippen on the other side, baby, there is zero question of who you are taking. I'm taking Kawhi at 80%. Well, I'm taking Scottie at 120.
And let me throw this out here. I think that a significant number of people who are listening to this show think that sounds crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I did Gil's Arena once. And they were talking about why it is that Kawhi went to the Olympics in 2024, knowing that physically he didn't have it, right? And they had to send him home.
Well, he wanted to go. Yeah, he wanted to go. Yeah, they wanted to try. Yeah.
Right. Like, but, you know, but, you know, they eventually sent him home, right? But it was like, so why did he do this in the first place? I'm like, I know exactly why he does this, because this is what players of his caliber do. Like, we don't think of him in this way, but Kawhi Leonard is a two-time finals MVP. Kawhi Leonard's a guy that's been first-team All-NBA before. Kawhi Leonard, at the end of the 2019 season, had a legitimate claim to being the best player in the NBA. He is a two-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year. Now, how many people have ever been the best defensive player in the NBA, which most of us believe that he was? Forget about just the award, right? Mm-hmm, he was so good that teams, like, basically stopped doing anything. Out of the way. Like, Orlando Pace, where you wouldn't even put anybody over him, right? Yep. Like they did when he was at Ohio State. He was that good while also being a you-can't-stop-him-in-the-clutch offensive player. How many people have ever fit that description, right? To me, you're talking about Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon, you could argue Kobe Bryant, LeBron James.
Could you argue Tim Duncan?
No, because you cannot argue, you can't do nothing against him in the clutch, because Tim Duncan will do it to himself.
Okay, yeah. Good point on that.
You know what I mean? Like you couldn't say it about Kevin Garnett?
Yeah, they both got a little yippy. Right?
Both a little yippy, yeah. Like, this is a rare combination of things to put together. This is an all-time great damn near a legendary player, except for the one thing, and the one thing is everything, because everything is his body.
Well, I'll give you one more player who might fit that, and he ties into this next point I'm going to make. Kevin Durant, who might very well be in that category. Well,
best defensive player in the league?
Yeah, the last year in Oklahoma City, that first year in Golden State, where he could play up and play down and protect the rim.
He was a very interesting defensive player in that time. But you know who was the best defensive player in the NBA in that time?
Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard.
Yes, hey, man. Yes. Look, how much differently do we look at Kawhi Leonard? I mean, everything, the inflection point in his career, even though there's a title on the back end of this, is obviously 2017, Game 1, Western Conference Finals against the Warriors. Now, we have to be careful extrapolating too much from one game, but they were up by like 25 points.
Yes, they were.
when he got hurt. And yes, he was clearly the best player on the court when he got hurt.
Cooking.
And clearly the Spurs needed him because they lost that game. Like, I want to say he got hurt in the middle of the third quarter and they blew a 25-point lead.
Yeah, yeah. It was bad. Like, there was no more intriguing player, I would say, in 2017 than Kawhi Leonard. Because that was, you know, the Duncan thing had just ended. Like, he retired in 16. And remember when Greg Popovich was saying, man, when Tim Duncan retires, we're going to hand this thing over to him. And I'm like, to that dude?
What are you talking about?
I didn't see it. I didn't see it. I'm like, he's a guy, like a good guy, but a guy, right? And then that year was the year where even in 2016, he was all NBA first team over Kevin Durant, who might have been the best player on earth that year. That is insane to me. So the next year, going against Steph and KD, he's got nothing to lose. He's going into that building like I'm like Snoop in 94. I'm stomping on the buildings. I'm taking everything down. And that's what it looked like. I don't think they would have won the series if he was healthy, but I would want to see it. And we have not seen that player since. Like, that player was a sports car. Everything else has been a minivan.
Let me ask you this right fast. And I'm not saying there's any definitive answer, okay?
Okay.
Imagine you're talking to Kawhi Leonard. Explain to him why he's not as good as Kevin Durant. Explain to Kawhi Leonard, who turned himself into a 50-40-90 guy. And, like, the only holdup on the 90 is being, like, 88.9 on free throws, right?
Yeah,
How do you explain to him that he's not as good as Kevin Durant?
The only way you explain that he's not as good is that he isn't as available. But as a basketball player?
Hold on. And by the way, we're not exactly talking about the Maytag repairman on the other side.
That part is true. But we never got the sense that Kevin Durant wouldn't play.
I hear you. You're not wrong, right? And that explanation might work on me. But if you had to explain it to him...
That's a tough one.
It's a tough one. Look, the depleted version of Kawhi Leonard that played in 2023, 2024, 52.5 from the floor, 41.7 from three, 88.5 from the line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He is an advanced statistical marvel. He's just been hurt all these times.
That is the hard thing. Because when I think about even historical, Bo, when you think about all-time great small forwards in the history of the league, you're saying LeBron, the Birdman, and then we're having discussions about, okay, where does Kevin Durant fit in that? Where does Julius Erving fit in that?
Right, Elgin Baylor.
If he's, I feel like back then he played more four than three, but you're right. Yeah, same thing, right? We're having those discussions of where he ranks. We just don't talk about him like that. And I think that's kind of like, Bo, the sad part about this is that all the nonsense has obscured how historically great he has been when he has played. The only time he ever really came up short from a performance standpoint was in the bubble when Paul George was shooting on the side of the backboard. And can you imagine, Bo, if the Los Angeles Clippers won the 2020 title at Disney World, how many asterisks we would have put on that? If y'all think we talking shit about the Lakers, what y'all think we would have said about the Clippers?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
But no, I think, like, if you think of, if I were to ask you the fourth greatest shooting guard of all time, you might say Dwayne Wade. If I say who's the fourth greatest point guard of all time, you might say Oscar, or you might say, you know, whomever. If you say Kawhi Leonard's the fourth greatest small forward of all time, people would bark back against you and then work their way back and being like, well, you actually do got a case for all the reasons that I'd never thought about.
Yeah. No, we just, very few people have been as top line accomplished as him that we don't think about in those terms. And it's because of the availability. Like, I'm looking at it now because I hadn't thought about this in a while. He was second in the MVP voting behind Steph Curry in 2016.
Yes, he was.
He was third in 2017.
Like, yes.
Hey, man, that's rarefied NBA air.
I think, and this is one of those things that I feel like I was vindicated on. And yeah, I'm doing this today, Bo. You know who was first on my ballot in the 2017 MVP voting?
It wasn't.
It was Harden. Because yes. I think they had more, you know, it, I don't know if they had more wins or whatever it was, but it was Harden. Second, I believe, was Kawhi Leonard.
You were not here in the triple-double.
I was not here for 30-10 and 10. Because I ask people all the time, if it was 39-9, would he have won MVP? And people like, nah. So what's the point of y'all capitulating to a round number? Like, tell me what you see. Well, you know, Kevin Durant left, and then the team, you know, did the team win 50 games? I stand on, you got to win 50 games to be an MVP. I stand on that. And I don't think I'm wrong. I can say that I'm wrong about some I'll say, Bo, because I'm going to ask you this. I was wrong about Stephen Curry in 2022, right? I was wrong about Oklahoma City coming into the season last year. I didn't think that they were going to be a champion. Those are two things I will own. I'm not owning anything else. Nothing else. 27, I was right about that. I was all the way right. Because he done did it twice since then and didn't sniff MVP. And I ain't got nothing to do with him. That's got anything to do with y'all. Y'all being the voters.
Yeah.
That's
what that was. It was one of those things, man. It was one of those things.
I'm not with it. Now, Bo, you don't like admitting you were wrong. I
don't know who does, but okay. Like, oh boy, I just can't wait to get out here and give these satisfaction. Yeah, I don't know, but that's fair. That's fair.
I mean, if you can laugh at yourself, which you can, like you ain't laughing with the crowd, you can laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
Is there anything over the last, I don't know, 3 to 5 years that you're like, you know what? I really got this wrong.
Well, I mean, Stephen Curry winning the championship with the rest of the Warriors in 2022 is way, way, way high on that list. God damn. Like, that, I still can't believe that happened. I was just like, hey, man, y'all had y'all's chance. And by the way, my rationale for why they were done, I still think it all, like, ultimately bore fruit. It just didn't for that 1 year, right? Like, this two timeline thing, what a terrible idea. That's not going to work. It didn't work. All of it. And then, no. They did that. I also agreed with you that Oklahoma City, I thought they was going to be a little too thin to win, too light to fight. And nah, that one worked out okay. I thought that 2023 was the beginning of a run for Denver, and that window slammed shut.
Is it over? Now that we're there, do you think it's over, or do you think that, okay, we got Michael Porter Jr. out of there, we got Cam Johnson in, we got, you know what I'm saying, we got some of those requisite pieces back, or is it such that all windows are one-year windows now?
I think every window is a one-year, well, not every window is a one-year window, but winning a championship no longer makes you the favorite to win the next one, I think is maybe the best way to put it. I think that they are better than they were last year. Right. Like, I think with the moves that they made, they're better than they were last year. And I think they're probably better than they were in 2024, where I think prior to them just kind of wearing down.
Yeah.
I still thought they were the best team in the West at that point. Right. Like, I think that if you put them against Dallas, I think they probably come out as a winner instead of that young, inexperienced Oklahoma City team. But this does seem to be a team that is better suited to play around Jokic. And the issue with Porter is not what a obvious weirdo he is. It's just his body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Like he just his body is not in line with his age. But it's just not. So, like, you had a guy like Cam Johnson, right? And they got Bruce Brown back, too, right?
Yeah, yep.
You know? So they're Brown and Browner back together. I enjoy the pairing of Brown and Browner.
Yeah, I don't know if everybody else will enjoy the pairing the same way that we do, considering.
Well, my favorite part about Brown and Browner is which one of them jumps higher.
Oh, it's clear which
there's
one
no
of them
question,
jumps higher.
There's no question who it is, right? Like, Brown and Browner, as a pair, they look different. One's the hustle guy, you know what I'm saying? The other one's the great athlete.
Hey, if I told you one dude's name was Bruce and the other dude's name was Christian, I'm sure you would think that the looks would be different. If I told you that the Christian was the high flyer and that the Bruce was the dependable, reliable skills and guts and guile and all that, and I showed you pictures, I'm sure you would think it was like that movie Face Off with John Travolta and Nicolas Cage. Like, wait, which one is, wait, you're the athlete and you're the solid guy?
Yeah.
I'm sure we wouldn't know what to do with such things.
There's something to it.
I mean, look. People, if you know, you know. That's all I say. If you know, you know. Now, Bo, I don't know if you saw that Adam Silver was at the front office sports thing that they do every year where they have all the commissioners come and everything else. And one of the things that he talked about, Adam has this great talent of being able to logically walk back things that when he said it sounded very, very clear. And then the backlash hits and everything else. And he was talking about the whole highlight league thing. That struck me the wrong way when he said it, and he kind of walked it back a little bit, but just out of curiosity, are you one of those people that says, you know what, Adam meant what he said because you got to meet fans where they are, or are you of the mind that, Adam, you've got to find a better way of making those 30-second clips turn into season ticket holders, even though they're getting priced out, and turn into viewers for all these different platforms?
Yeah, I felt like that was a benign version of Rob Manfred's "The trophy is a big old hunk of metal." Right?
Yeah.
And I get what Manfred is thinking in his head, right? The trophy itself is just metal. You ascribe whatever importance it is to it, da-da-da, so forth and so on. But all the players heard was, I mean, they're not the most, baseball players are not the most sophisticated players. They're not thinking of the trophy as a metaphor. They're actual, factual playing for the trophy, right? Like, it's a very straight ahead sort of thing for them. And the reason why I put that kind of in the same sentence with this is, what he did with that statement was diminish the significance of the games themselves,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Diminish the significance of what people go for. And so, I would not have said it's a highlight league, right? But our league provides a lot of exciting plays that then you can also see in smaller snippets if you cannot see the games in totality, right? Like, if that's your argument. But you got to be careful. I always say that we make this mistake talking about sports like it's entertainment. It is entertaining. But when you start talking about it like it's entertainment, you start reducing what it is that makes it important to people, which is a mm-hmm. certain urgency and emotion that entertainment properties try to generate and that come about naturally. It's the advantage that your industry has is you don't need writers to come up with this. You don't need to cook it up. Like, the guts of it is already there. And look, this stuff is getting really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, everything is getting really expensive, but the stuff is getting really expensive. On the other hand, and there's no way for Silver to make this point, so I will kind of sort of do it for him. I understand people who are like, it's messed up that all these games are behind the walls of streaming. Okay? But back in the day, those games that were behind the walls of streaming would not be available at all.
Right.
Like, it's not like they took games that were going to be free for you to watch and then put them behind a paywall. They put games that weren't really going to be accessible and then provided a way where if you're really a diehard and you want to spend some extra money, you can actually go and watch them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, moving games to cable. This was an argument about doing that back in the day. But I would argue again at that point, a lot of those games that were on cable were actually games that people would not have had access to prior. Mm-hmm. So if you got some money, there's more basketball on ever for you to watch. Is it Adam Silver's fault that you ain't got the money? Ugh, tough call. Is Adam Silver supposed to come up with ways for you to watch the games for free? That's not really how the job works, right? It's not really how it goes. We just have a society, I think, and I think it's a fair point to make, that has the expectation of being able to watch everything. And so when something happens, if for whatever reason you can't watch it, people buck back. Now, is the league going to wind up in a tricky situation where people are going to have to start cutting off some of these streaming services and having to start making some real decisions about what to keep? These are the reasons why it's advantageous for Peacock, for example, to have the NBA, to make it a much harder decision for you to cut them off. But I find myself, when I watch stuff on certain streaming services, like I turned on, I guess I don't want to say which one it was, but I turned one on to watch a documentary, and I was like, damn, if they asked me for a password, I got nothing. I have no idea the last time I used this service, but I've been paying $20-something dollars a month for it for all this time. Hey, man. The people who haven't had television shows are probably going to have to stop paying for that stuff because I'm about to stop paying for that stuff. Then it's
it's a weird thing. And I feel like I'm going to text it to you during the break, which streaming service it is, because I feel like I'm having that same problem. Like, man, I want to see this one thing, but I don't know if they ask me for a login, what I'm going to have for it. I might not have nothing for it. Now, two things come up for me, and it came up for me, and I talked a little bit about, I didn't talk about it, what I mean, but it came for me over the past week. And just thinking about how we consume stuff, Bo, you couldn't have told me that newspapers would be in the dire straits that they are with the advent of the internet. That, oh, we got more accessibility to more information all than ever. And then when newspapers started giving out stuff for free, that became the expectation. And then that led to, you know, less ad money, less everything. Once you told people they had to start paying after they went 10 years without it, then it was a problem, right? The other part of it is, you couldn't have told me 15 years ago that I would have access to millions of songs through my phone. All I got to pay is $13 a month. Once you told me that that's what the standard is for whatever musical service that you use, I follow the standard and I don't think anything of it. That's just the cost of doing business. I think after a while, people will get used to such a thing. But right now, it's just jarring. But if you tell somebody, hey, you used to get all this music for free and it was in the palm of your hand and now you got to pay $15 for it, people going to buck back. But if you tell them from the beginning, this is the cost of going in, this is the cost of entry, people will be just fine.
Yeah, that is, you can't make people start paying for stuff that they after you told them that they didn't have to. it just doesn't work. Like, I used to work at the Gap when I was in college, and I worked at the Gap. You got 5 items a month for 50% off. After I quit working at the Gap, brother, I couldn't go back. I couldn't go shop there. Them prices felt like they was out of control. They wasn't out of control. Mm-hmm. They just wasn't half off no more.
These are
half off clothes for me.
Right. Like, hey, these 5 tees back in the days of people, if you know, you know, when you worked at the shoe store and you could get them 5 tees. Hey, man, I ain't trying to pay 5 for 20.
Right.
5 for 10. That's robbery.
I miss the 5 for 20 so much. The 5 for 20 was a great time, boy, especially when that's all we was wearing was oversized T-shirts. At 5 for 20, how you right?
Clutch. You go to class, you go hang out. You had to put minimum effort, jeans and some decent kicks, and that would be that. Like,
yes.
That was, people don't realize the life that we used to live, man. It was much more of a simple time, bro.
It was a time.
And you could still get on them. They didn't care. You could still get on them. They didn't care about your black tee.
That's because we had solidarity amongst ourselves. And look, this is your only option is dudes in tall tees. Pick one.
Tall XLT.
All of us, brother. All of us.
Hey, it was a meritocracy back then. That's what it was.
Yes. Yes,
it was a meritocracy as opposed to right now, where it's a little bit of a different game. When we come back, we got more the right time, but we got more of the good word when we come right back.
Hey,
Welcome back to The Good Word here with Bomani Jones. Bo, I pre-warned you, so I'm going to just give you this quote from Jason Tatum that producer Dakota put in the rundown. So blame him if you got a problem with it. This is a quote from Jason Tatum. Anyone who doesn't have MJ, Bron, and Kobe in their top five, I have a hard time listening to.
All right, look. The problem with a top five is it can only have five people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the levels of the frustration that I share in this is not recognizing that there's some room for disagreement in this. And I guess I need to not be as annoyed because, like, in my mind, at least, I think Kobe may be the only fringe guy that we're talking about in this one.
Yeah.
My frustration is a little bit of me shaking this hand at this cloud that's up here is that I'm not getting fussed at like that by nobody that's 26 years old. Look, I understand right now he probably got a lot of time to just sit around and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he has broken this down on molecular levels that have truly given him a clarity on this matter. Maybe. But don't just like, I ain't willing to talk. Don't do that. Like, we have a real serious, the most fascinating question with Kobe is Tim Duncan. And it's the most interesting because they both got stripes beating each other. They both got what they got on each other's watch. You know what I mean? Like everything, they both have five titles, right? They both got them sometimes going through each other. Kobe's, you know, Lakers has their times, though. They demolished the Spurs, but the Spurs also had their times that they went back. Like, this is a discussion. This is a discussion. We got to have discussions.
There are things that I am willing to accept from people as absolutes, right? Like, once I went on Dan Patrick's show, and I was wearing a Prince hoodie that I got from the airport in Minneapolis. And he says, Prince or Stevie Wonder? And I say, you know what, Dan? It depends on the day, right? It really, really depends on the day. Like, if you talk about Stevie, you know, pre-Stevie owning his own stuff and everything else, and then you combine that with the classic era, blah, 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 right? Or you go at, man, Prince in the 80s was just, you know, was just crazy, crazy heat. Like, it depends on the day, right? If you tell me we can't have an argument about that genre of music without those two people being in the top five, that's an absolute that I'm willing to accept. Now, if you're willing to tell me that somebody who is arguably a tier under, I don't know who qualifies like a tier under the GOAT tier per se, who would be analogous to Kobe Bryant per se, I don't want to hear that. It's certain things I'm willing to accept and willing to discuss. This is not one of them. And I feel like this is only coming from like a 26-year-old who is looking at only the Kobe Bryant aesthetic and highlights. Or the argument that I hate the most, Bo, is, well, he's the closest thing to Mike. What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously a Kobe stan, right?
Yes.
I think that offers a level of information on what we're talking about there, right? So let's say that he says Prince and Stevie, and I'll just throw it in there. So, like, we're talking about somebody that is, like, maybe a tier below. Let's call it, like, Earth, Wind, and Fire as an act, right?
Yeah.
And there are people who argue to the ground about the greatness of Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's your band. That's your groove. That's cool. You know? Like, and I don't think that Kobe Bryant is the Earth, Wind, and Fire. Like, it's a little different, like, difficult to make the exact comparison. You know, but I think you get what I'm saying, right? Like, it's your groove. Like, it's okay if that one, if that happens to be your groove, you go ahead and do that.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Don't tell me who your GOAT is when you just saying that's your favorite player.
Well, so that's the thing. My thing is the idea of a GOAT First of all, you can't have multiple, right? People are like, one of the GOATs. I mean, I guess, but come on now. Now you're just, like, now you make room for everybody here, right? If you think somebody's the greatest player of all time, maybe it is your opinion of who the greatest is of all time, but when people refer to my GOAT, they are referring to their favorite player. And it is okay to say that that is your favorite player. Dominique Wilkins is not my GOAT. Dominique Wilkins was my favorite player, right? It's okay. Right. To me, Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time. Michael Jordan has never been my favorite player. This is like an assessment.
Yes.
Okay? Your love... Like, this tells me a whole lot about how some of y'all was raised. Your love is not supposed to be this conditional. Right? You can only love somebody if they're the best.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you think every woman that's married to a dude in the NBA think that cat's the best player in the NBA? Hell no. She know better. She know LeBron got a nicer house than them, and she know why.
I don't get it. Like, I don't get it. Like, my favorite player, to nobody's surprise, is Isaiah Thomas. And if someone says Magic Johnson's a better point guard, you want me to argue against that?
Yeah, that's cool. Whatever.
Fine.
Got you.
Cool. I'm not going to argue against, Michael Jordan's better than Isaiah. Okay, yeah, that's probably the case because he's the greatest player ever. That's usually how it works.
Yeah.
I don't know who raised, I think this, it comes back to who raised, I don't know who's raising these kids. Like when I saw Carmelo's son say that Paul George is my GOAT, and I'm like,
that's what I'm saying.
Shouldn't your daddy be, I mean, if anybody, shouldn't your own daddy be your GOAT when we're talking about those type of things?
Hey, man, you know what it's like to be a son. Yes. You know. Yeah. It might be his actual answer, right? That might be his answer in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but it's...
Them kids love Paul George, though, in a way that confuses me.
It's...
But hold on. But to be fair, I just said my favorite player was Dominique Wilkins. So, you know.
No. There's a huge difference to me between if your favorite player is Dominique Wilkins, then your favorite player being Paul George. Because Dominique Wilkins did things in the air I have never, ever seen. Duck walk. Look, that man was that duck walking, bringing the windmill all the way down with the dry Jerry curl. Maybe it was dry, maybe it wasn't. You know, like the aesthetic. No, I get that. And I like Paul George's game. I think he's got a smooth game. That's one of those things I don't see. And that's not me on Paul George. I'm just surprised that there is this crazy amount of love and saying this is my GOAT type of thing.
Even if I want
to accept it.
He also had some dope, reasonably priced sneakers, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did for a period.
You know,
he did.
Goes a long way.
I guess it carried. It's a generational thing. Like, it's funny because I think basketball, and I want to see if you agree with me on this one. And I didn't put this on the rundown, so forgive me, Dakota. I thought about this last week when it seems like there's this rush in basketball culture more than anything else. To get to the next thing. When the regular season starts, it's, man, can't wait to get to the playoffs. When the playoffs start, it's, man, can't wait to get to trade season and free agency season. When it's free agency, man, can't wait to get to the games. We never just sit in a place.
Yes.
Of being able to, this is a regular season, a Tuesday night game between two really good teams. Who gives a damn if it means that the Knicks aren't going to the finals this year? Or whatever the game may symbolize. Like, I don't know if that came from Twitter and the immediacy of everything else, but the culture seems to have affected the NBA and basketball more than any other sport, and it bothers me.
I think that if you watch more football coverage, you see that it's all over the place there.
I think
baseball, because it plays a zillion games, is the one that keeps you present a little bit differently. But I do think that the nature of sports talk radio, which then morphed into debate television, I think is the thing that did that, because you're playing this forward, right? We're talking about this and then using it as an advertisement for something else. Like, we're about to go into week three of the NFL season. And the question on so many games is going to be like, is the Chiefs season finished at 0-3? Ravens and the Lions are going to play, and they're both 1-1, meaning one of them is going to be 1-2. Is the team that finished 1-2, how much trouble are they in, right? Like, everything pays forward in that regard, because it makes it easier to find topics that allow for argument, or we'll call it discourse, right, just to be, you know, to take away the judgment of it, or they get less pejorative. And it's hard for anything to stay present, anything at all, in large part because staying present in this one thing is really difficult to do in the face of a zillion other options. Something else over there you could be doing.
Right. And I bring you, and I said that as almost a perfect setup, Bo. I bring this to you as somebody who lives in New York City.
Yes.
Are you prepared? Are you prepared for the widespread panic that is going to happen the first time there is a 3-game losing streak at 33rd and 8th?
Can't wait.
Are you ready?
Can't wait. I have not been here for a good team that has disappointed this city, right? Like, I haven't, maybe a little bit last year, but this year, look, I feel like everybody in the East has an argument for being the best team in the East, right? Yeah, Halliburton, yeah. I mean, we don't expect to see Tatum play this season coming. No. We don't expect Halliburton to play in this season coming. Why not? Like, what is your argument if you're the Knicks as to why you can't be the best team? Like, are you expecting Paul George to be healthy? Are you expecting, I saw Embiid lost a bunch of weight. Like, is that what you're going for? Is, like, Philadelphia going to be the team that somehow figures out how to make this happen? Like, are you really all bored with Orlando like that? Detroit, welcome back. Like, how much do we think we got there? Do we really trust Cleveland? Right? So, hey, look. If we're in Cleveland, I think we're having the same discussion. Why can't you be the team that win the East in the face of what it is that we're discussing? But the difference is, it's the Knicks, right? How many teams in the East have a better 1-2 than Jalen Brunson and Karl Towns, despite all the things that I might have to say about Karl Towns? And they got a new coach. Like, they basically said, conference finals, not good enough.
Ooh, no, you know what the crazy thing for me was? They would have fired them, and even they went to the finals.
Yes,
they would have fired him if they went to Game 7 of the NBA Finals against the Oklahoma City Thunder and had the exact same fate. Maybe not a Jalen Brunson injury, blah blah blah. But the Knicks were going to fire Tom Thibodeau no matter what, and Mike Brown walking into this situation being as perceived to be as affable and amenable as he is compared to Tom Thibodeau, that's going to look and feel different because there wasn't time last year. The difference between this year and last year, to me, the Karl Towns trade happened on the eve of training camp. It wasn't enough time for people to reasonably have expectations of this team should go to the finals. Especially now when the Boston Celtics had just won a championship and won 64 games and ran through everybody else and blah, blah, blah. Like, nobody was reasonably going to expect that. So you didn't have time to sit in it. You've had time to sit in all of this, from the Tatum injury to the Halliburton injury, since June. There's going to be very little patience for Mikal Bridges, for Josh Hart, for OG Anunoby. There's little patience for anything other than Jalen Brunson. And I think that what makes this, to me, more interesting is going to be the inner workings of how dudes handle that pressure, even more so than the actual record and whether they succeed or fail.
And don't you think for a second they can't get tired of no Jalen Brunson? Like, don't get me wrong. They love that man. They happy to have him. But this is a city that likes people who play defense.
I don't know if that city exists anymore, Bo.
Oh, no. It's still here. Like, I'm telling you, at some point, what they obviously like about Brunson is that he ain't scared and he goes and gets those shots, right? But I think the weaknesses of their two best players' games are incompatible with this city. Like, this is the thing I said about Towns. I'm like, the more they watch him, the less they're going to like him. Because, look, the beginning of the year last year, he looked like the best player in the NBA. And everybody, I feel like, says this when they get their first, like, an opportunity to watch him more than they had. We're just like, oh my God, can you believe the things that this guy can do? And then you go back and you'd be like, here we go. And I think we started seeing some of that in the playoffs last year, where people saw what the shortcomings were of his game.
For me, I go back to that first round series, and I'm like, if Isaiah Stewart's healthy, they don't get out of that series because you got somebody to guard Towns. Like, everything that happened, this is not taking anything away. I know Knicks fans are going to parse and say you hating or whatever, or Detroit, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. But I'm not taking away from them beating Boston because I think they would have beat Boston even with a healthy Tatum, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they were clearly having Boston's number in a way that we're going to have to look at Joe Mazzulla a lot under the light this year. Yeah, I see you over there, Joe. We're going to do a lot of that, right? Mm-hmm. But they were going to win that series anyway. And then to lose a series where you have home court advantage, mind you, against the Indiana Pacers in the conference finals, and then having that first round series where I thought, man, they are up against it. They are just up against a worse matchup for them than what they could have came up with, and they just happened to come out of it. Yeah, I just think the pressure is going to be inordinate, Bo. And I want to know if Carl is built for it. Jalen Brunson is dealing with real expectations for the first time. He's no longer the little engine that could behind Luka Doncic or the free agency prize that everybody just thought of because of Leon Rose and his dad and everything else. There's legit real-life expectations. And, Bo, give me the list of players at his size, or a little bit shorter, a little bit taller, that have led their teams to championships in the history of the NBA. Give me the list.
It's Isaiah Thomas and Steph Curry.
That's the list, y'all.
That's the whole list. That's the entire list right there. Now, I want to say this before we go too far. I think we both agree. They're going to turn on Bridges before they turn on anybody else unless something drastic changes about his approach to playing basketball.
Yes.
Like, he got to get a little bit more comfortable with the pressure, the physicality of the game.
Question. Will they turn on Bridges or will they turn on OG Anunoby first? Because Bridges plays.
Yes. But he, that looking afraid of being touched.
I'm with you.
That's tough. That's
tough. And New York's a finicky bunch. The New York fan is a finicky bunch of how their basketball is supposed to be played.
It's tough. Like, look, either way it goes, everybody gonna feel like it's about them because it's coming. It's coming. Like, this is a thing. And again, I can't say that they will win it, the East, but I can't tell you why they shouldn't. There's nothing intractable that says they shouldn't.
I mean, the Cleveland Cavaliers are the reason why they shouldn't. If the Cavs were the team,
but they are not intractable.
The regular season says that they are. You know, right.
But they are not intractable. Like, that's, I mean, look, they're asking for somebody that same size to lead them to a championship.
Yeah. Once again, the list is a list of two: Stephen Curry and Isaiah Thomas. Mm-hmm. That's the list. When we come back, it'll be time for the last word, y'all. Welcome back to The Good Word. It is time for the last word. One reason that Bomani is my guest today is because he was the first guest that I ever had on this podcast. I wanted it to be a little synergy for him to be the last guest I'll ever have on this here podcast. As many of you know, I will be going somewhere else, taking my talent somewhere else in another week or so.
Talents. There we go. You spin that Kobe.
You're an ass.
Just say it. You a Kobe stan after all.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. Oh, my God. Absolutely not. Oh, Jesus Christ. I tell people the difference between Kobe and Mike is Kobe is Diet Coke and Mike is Cherry Coke. Like, there is a difference. There's a difference betwixt the two. And you know it as soon as you taste it. Like, it's just quick. No shade.
Then you get a little bit older and recognize that you got to watch your weight. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I'm off of that. I'm off of all that narcotic right now. Looking at them pictures. But anyway, I appreciate everybody who has given me congrats, who has asked me if I'm taking this podcast with me. The answer is no. I'm sure you will see me in other places, in other forms. I've had a blast doing this over the past X amount of years. Dakota's been rocking with me, producer John before that. Bo was my first guest, Jason Goff, my guy, Howard Beck, Sam Amick, Monica McNutt, everybody who's ever come on this, Marcus Thompson, everybody who's ever come on and kick it with me. Even the Love Doctor episode was really dope because people still have legit asked me about that in a year and a half since. And hell no, I'm not doing another one because y'all people got real sensitive about that. And I got a text that day that says, please, no more Love Doctor. And it was from Bomani Jones.
Hey, man, just had to make sure you understood that that was not something to do all the time. You know what I mean? I was looking out for you, and I want to take a moment in this, and I would say speak for your audience, of which I am a member, and also speak for the people that work with you, and say congratulations to you. And I always say that in these times, the congratulations is honestly not about what's next. It's about congratulations for what has transpired so far. And I think that in this business and in this life, it can always, as we talk about not sitting in moments and always thinking about what's next, one frustrating thing as somebody who knows you and cares about you is your unfortunate tendency to underestimate at times what a big deal the things that you have already done have been, and how many people who are listening to this that you know who would love to be in the positions that you are in, right? So forget about what comes after. Forget about any comparison between what's next and what has happened now. Up until this point, you have been checking off boxes for what were your dreams at some point. And even if your ambitions change, what made those things your dreams have not. And you have done that. And you have this here, and there are people here and all over this country and world that are happy for you and proud of you for what you have managed to pull off. So congratulations to you for what you have done, even if you don't do another thing. My daddy used to always say, you my mule if you never win another race. The races later don't matter. What you've done so far is what it is. I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you. I love that you've done this. I love you for it all. And enjoy yourself, man. You deserve this.
Yeah, I'm not. I appreciate you.
You ain't got to say nothing, brother. I wasn't even trying to do it to you like that.
No, you know, I ain't good with the feels and all that type of stuff, but it is appreciated. Every listener has been appreciated. Every viewer, every comment. I really do appreciate that shit. Dude, you know how I feel about boys to simps.
Hey. The song was originally in Coolie High.
A movie I've never seen.
Okay, we'll see. There we go. So this is kind of like when Coach Cheese got punched in the kidney and died under the train. Okay, maybe not. Maybe that was...
You know? Oh, that's what happened to him. Yes. Okay, cool. I've never seen the movie, and I heard that a dude died. Okay, cool. That's what happened. I didn't know. I don't have to see the movie. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Bomani Jones. Thanks to producer Dakota, who does everything behind the scenes on this show. There will be another podcast. Stick around for that. You will like them. I appreciate you all. Love.
Yesterday.